This is Steve Sherlock with another internet radio show or podcast, number 188 in the series for Franklin Matters. This recording shares the Finance Committee meeting held on Tuesday, December 17, 2019 at the Senior Center, beginning at 6:30 p.m. This is the second of two sessions to review the capital plan for FY 2020. This session covers the DPW and the Enterprise Water and Sewer accounts. The documents for this meeting are available on the Town of Franklin page, as well as Franklin Matters. The links are contained here so you can follow along. The Finance Committee ultimately approves the three recommendations that the Town Council will take up at a January 2020 meeting. Recommendation 20-01 of the total amount of $1.6 million, as detailed on page 20 of the agenda doc. Resolution 20-02 recommends a transfer of $348,000 to the OPEB Trust Fund. And 20-03 recommends the transfer of $570,000 from free cash to three individual stabilization accounts, as detailed on page 24 of the agenda document. The meeting runs about 50 minutes, so without further ado, here's the FinCom meeting of December 17.
It is 6:31. We have a quorum, so I will call the meeting to order. I'm Bill Dowd, Vice Chairman, filling in for Mike Dufort tonight. And we may have one member leave early, but we'll still have a quorum. So we are not being recorded by video, but we are by audio. And at this time, I believe George did circulate the minutes to everybody. I know I had a chance to look at them. Did everyone have a chance to review the minutes?
Yes.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Ayes have it. Next item, public comments. Are there any public comments? It doesn't look like it.
Our record is intact.
Yeah.
5 years.
Yes, yes, ma'am.
Single citizen.
Is it possible? Are the minutes online?
There should be a set right over to your right.
Okay. It's just I wanted the rest of the Capitol Committee to see these.
Okay.
You know, before we met in January. So
right. They would be.
This would be wonderful.
Once we approve them, right?
Yeah. They not tonight's.
Those
they
are the
have
ones
to,
that.
Yeah, I know, but
these
tonight's.
Are the last meetings.
This
meeting won't be.
But once we approve these, they should go online, correct?
Not until you approve them,
right.
So that's going to be...
Which we just did, so...
Well, yeah. These ones will go on, but the ones next...
Day, tonight's
I think we're Christmas.
Tonight's won't go on until the next time we meet.
Okay.
Probably won't be too deep in January. I mean, we'll probably have another meeting, I'm sure, in January, February, too, so...
Okay.
But...
So to get back to the counselor's question, when would you like to see the tonight's minutes? Are you talking about?
No, I have these.
Okay.
Yep.
Tonight's meeting.
Right. Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
It's going to be a while before you approve them.
Yeah. Correct.
It's just that I thought it would be good for them to be able to read them ahead of time to see how the Finance Committee feels about different things.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. I misunderstood the question.
No, I maybe didn't say it right.
So there are no public comments, and now we are on to the capital budget presentation, DPW, Mr. Helen and Mr. Director.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So picking up on page 6, where we left off at the last Finance Committee meeting a week ago tonight, the DPW is last but by no means least, is the last department on our agenda. The Public Works, pretty straightforward. We're recommending $305,000 for the DPW for some additional trucks and equipment, notably a Class B dump truck with 11-foot plow for $230,000, a 4x4 crew cab pickup with plow for $45,000, and an asphalt hot box for $30,000. The first two apparatus essentially need to be replaced because the current trucks will not pass inspection. Additionally, these are not trucks or cars that are specifically for staff. These are for the entire DPW unit. Notably, I would say also in the 4x4 crew cab pickup, I believe the current one we have that can't pass inspection does not have a plow, so this adds another another truck into the fleet. Nobody needs any reminder that we're in New England and we could use as many plows as we can as we have the last couple weeks. So, and then the asphalt hot box is essentially a minor investment to our fleet to do more potholes and to extend the life of our roads. I've been doing a series of patchwork. As always, Brutus and his staff are not shy. They've got a great capital plan. They've had one in place for many years. With limited dollars, we can do what we can. And there's a series of other apparatus down the bottom that are not recommended at this time, mainly due to limited dollars. As we always do with the money that we hold for snow and ice removal, you know, if we get to the end of the season, we might have a little bit extra. Maybe we'll be able to invest in another piece, but we'll come back to this group as well as the council at that time. You know, we're always optimistic that we'll have leftover money out of the snow and ice removal. It doesn't feel that way right now, given what's happened, especially for his team over the last few weeks, but you know, traditionally we've been in good shape and we have some additional revenue left over for that stuff at the end of the year. Obviously, Brutus, I don't know if you have anything else?
Yeah, I'd just like to touch on the trucks that I'm asking for. Mm-hmm. They're already gone. They've already been auctioned off. We just couldn't use them anymore. They were sold pretty much as scrap through procurement processes. The asphalt patch truck, the trailer that we were the first ones to get them around here, and we wanted to try it out, and we got one, and I found through usage is very efficient. Mm-hmm. We're able to keep... there's different types of ones you can buy. This is one of the least expensive ones, because some of them you can actually make asphalt product on it and keep it heated up all night. This one, basically, we can just go pick up asphalt because we're fortunate enough we have a plant right over in Bellingham. Like, other communities have to drive so far. But I think you all know we're going to bottle season. But a hot mix that's put in there is going to last so much longer than the cold mix. So I've definitely seen the value. So that's why I want to make sure we have two, so I can send two crews out. Because we do have 220 miles of roadway. Mm. And I did ask for more equipment. I didn't get it.
So. Any questions or discussion? George?
I have a question. If the council were to see their way to doing a sidewalk plow, do you think that after spending $7 million downtown, we could plow the sidewalks down there? I went on my that end going into Hang Tie in not out in, because the sidewalk was just this much of ice and crap, and I just think that after spending that kind of money downtown, we want people to go. We put up little banners all over downtown. Come to downtown. Twinkle, twinkle, something or other. See that? I forget. They're all brand new. There was a truck out putting them up the other day, and we can plow the sidewalks for the schools to Medway almost, but we can't do downtown. Just a pet peeve, and my friend from the council is down there.
So, we do plow through the downtown.
The streets, yes.
No, we do the sidewalks. So, the priority we have right now. And I always put my snow presentations is we got to keep the roadways clear, and that's for vehicles traveling. Our second priority would be all the town buildings. We maintain them. And our third priority has always been the sidewalks. We haven't added, I've been here over here 15 years, we haven't added a sidewalk. You know, we built a lot of new sidewalks, we haven't added any. And these are sidewalks that are that have been agreed upon by public safety, public works, DPW, and just passed in the school department, which one of their priorities. We have limited staff. I could talk hours about snow removal operations, but they are our third tier priority. The downtown, we do go through the downtown. We do go through there and plow it or snow blow it. It was done last time. Does that mean we get everything? No, it doesn't. The last storm that we had, the one where we got those accumulations of snow, is I think you'll remember, it was a very long storm. It's kind of like this. We're getting an inch of snow over. You know, the crews were in at 1 o'clock last night. And it's just a long, and that storm, and we had snow, rain, snow. So we end up about 6 inches of snow. A lot of times, 6 inches is really not much, but we do the downtown cleanup. I think you all know we go clean everything up in downtown. You take all the snow banks out, we clean everything up. I had a hard time justifying it for 6 inches of snow because the last storm was cold going to warm. So that's why we didn't do the full cleanup like we always do. But I do send people down to clean in front of all the shops. The crosswalks that are across the street that go, you know, say from the Rome all the way through there, we sent hand shovelers to do those. So I'm not exactly sure where you fell, but there should have been a path
right
down there.
Right in front of Hang Time.
So there is a path that goes down.
Yeah, the only thing, it was about this wide, right up against the building. And that's fine. It just seemed like after all the money we spent, it ought to be, I know this is a terrible word, it ought to be up the pecking order a little bit. I mean, that's where we want people to go. We want them to spend money downtown, restaurants and frame shops and whatever else was down.
I can tell you candidly, you know, the calls we get about sidewalks, it's not downtown. It's the parents, it's their children. We're not doing enough. You hear, I'm sure Council Blagrey knows, you know, I'm within the 2 mile of a school and I have to walk to school and the sidewalks aren't, you have sidewalks, don't plow. We don't plow. We do the ones on the main streets. And that's what we do, and that's all we really have the staff to do. I'd love to do it.
Really quickly, Dan, I mentioned a couple of things. One, thinking about Bruce, you know, especially the sidewalks with heavy snow. I mean, you usually have to go down to the fourth or fifth level priority, and you got to go back and remove piles a few days later, or a couple days later, whatever it is, because you know, obviously, there's a certain places where the plows plow up a big, huge hill of snow. It's oftentimes unpopular. You know, we certainly hear about it from Dean College and a lot of other stakeholders, but Bruce is right, the complaints that come into the office are oftentimes on the routes to school. That's usually where you get the most people. And I'm not commenting or opining on people's opinions on that, but I think to his point, we don't get a tremendous amount of downtown businesses or others, you know, saying, geez, what are you doing? I will say in terms of the sidewalk plow, Brutus can verify this, we have had conversations about this. His staff is looking at, and I believe they've done this before with other apparatus, and we try to do it as a cost-saving measure, but they are looking at an option because I do believe that the expectations of the public in snow removal in general have gone way up. And I think with sidewalks in general, I think that's also the case. And I think we've been trying to figure out ways over the last month or so of how, whether this year or next year, how do we try to do that? And we did have a conversation of where the snowblower and where the sidewalk plow fit on the priority list. And as Bruce mentioned, the first two items, we don't even have those trucks anymore because they went off to the auction fleet already. So adding those two things were like the immediate priority for right now. One of the things that his staff has been looking at is whether or not we can do a lease to purchase option. So you kind of lease it through at least the winter for a short period of time. And like a car, you drive it off the lot and it loses 25% of its value like that, right when you turn onto the road. So we have been analyzing those. Those votes need to go to the council for an actual lease for a vote. And so we're trying to look at what we can do over the next month to see if that's an option that we can try to do. Maybe at the end of the year, that $130,000 price tag isn't as high as what it is, because out of the operating budget you can pay for the lease, and then maybe it's 100, you know, I'm making this up, but 190, 105, maybe it's cheaper. So we've been trying to look at a couple of options of that to try to see if we can get something done this year.
But just following up on that, and what Bruta said, you can buy the plow, but you still don't have the staff. Is that what that seems to be the crux of that matter?
Yes. Okay. We're in a community, and that through the years we've hired we hired a lot of contractors. So realistically, in layman's terms, when I first got here, I had 35 pieces of our own equipment that went on the street, and I hired up to 70 to 80 other pieces of contracted equipment to supplement our town, okay? Where we're at now is, I still got my 35, basically. The town's grown. I'm lucky if I get 40 pieces of equipment, because there's various reasons. The economy, people don't want to work anymore. Snow, the insurance for the small guys has gone through the roof, if you don't know this. It used to be you could go come plow for the town, it cost you a grand, you can make that up. Now it's $7,000. Guys are like, I just don't want to do it. So these smaller type trucks, the bigger companies, we can still get to a certain degree, but all their equipment's working. The old days when they come and park a loader down the DPW and go out and take care of downtown are gone. Mm-hmm. Companies that do it now, they haul them in and they take them out. It's a trickle-down effect. So it takes longer to the town. My guys can only work so much. And then when you talk about sidewalks, well, then you still got your priorities, which way you got to go. Mm-hmm. So what's the last priority? I will say it's interesting that, and I hate to use this name because it's different communities, but you know, the model that Franklin was doing for so long is, you know, we save a lot of money. But all of a sudden, it's not working. Mm-hmm. The expectations that people have, as Jamie says, just going up so much. I looked at leasing trucks, just leasing trucks, and then getting drivers. It's astronomically expensive. I couldn't even do that because we're looking at every option humanly possible to do this. We're actually going to, this new truck we're looking to buy is going to have a wing plow. The technology's changed. The old days, you have two people in a truck, but now you can do a wing plow. It's got lasers. There's not a lot of, you guys know Franklin. Wing plows work really good, like on a highway. It's tough to do subdivisions with a wing plow. I think you guys can understand that. But, you know, we can do Beaver Street. We can do Chestnut Street. We can do streets like that, a couple of routes like that. We can use a wing plow. That will cut down, you know, the number of drivers needed. Mm-hmm. The one town I found very interesting two towns, particularly Wellesley. And I know everybody goes, Wellesley. And Wellesley has more staff, and I always make the joke. They got more middle management. They got more staff. They got everything. They don't hire one plow contractor. Every piece of equipment is town-owned. And they, you know, comparably wise, they have a population of about 30,000. They still have 160 miles of road, but they do their whole town with in-house stuff because they can put 80 pieces of equipment on the road, 80 bodies, 80 trucks. You see how much a truck costs. If I came to you and said, gee, if I go, hey, I got five more guys that I'm going to outfit that's going to cost $400,000 a year, I still got to buy them trucks. Mm-hmm. Five more trucks is $1 million. And we're still, that's only five more. That's not the other
that's getting you halfway
30 that I need. I mean, it's just hard where we're going. So it's what's going to happen is expectations are going to go down. I'm going to yell at more. It's just not getting it. And there's just nothing we can do. We keep raising the rates, you know, for the snowplow removal. We still can't get people. You see our signs downtown. You go every town you go to, the state, everybody's looking for plow guys. No one wants to do the work anymore. I make a joke, it's the millenniums. That it's just no one wants to work overtime anymore. It's crazy.
Now one quick follow up.
People came in at one. Yeah, I mean I think if you made enough money, landscaper contractor through the summer and the spring and the fall, and then you kind of weigh in, hey, you know, I made a good year salary or whatever, my family's doing well or whatever, am I getting up at 1 o'clock?
Now, one quick follow-up to George's point about the downtown specifically. Mm-hmm. In some communities, I know Boston, which of course is a league of their own, but many times in the business district, they're responsible for shoveling. I'm not sure, are there any, and I don't want to drive up business costs.
You're absolutely right, and we did have the businesses take care of it. It had to be done within so many hours. That's what the bylaws say. For some reason, the council, through the DPW, businesses had to be out by a certain time to shovel in front of their properties. All right, and I know my husband still goes out there to this day, first thing in the morning, and shovels in front of the shop and all of that. And I've told him it isn't the bylaw anymore. He says, but it's our responsibility to do it. I wish that other businesses felt the same way. Now I will ask, what was our reasoning? Because my mind, I can't
so
remember
I,
the reason.
I found on the old, there was, everybody has this conception that the downtown shoveled. They thought it was a downtown shoveling area. Mm-hmm. So people were shoveling. People were shoveling their business downtown.
Right.
And I did some research, and it went back to 1973, and the town had a bylaw that said any commercial or retail property were responsible to clear the sidewalk in front of their property.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It was on the books. There was a $25 fine if you didn't do it. Mm-hmm. And I went to the council with this. And what I said, realistically, we looked at all the numbers through, you know, the GIS. If I didn't have to do all those, that's 20% of what I'm doing now I wouldn't have to do. So I could do the same equipment, I could do a lot more or do better. But you think about it, it's all 140. O140 pretty much is, it's, you know, it's, there's not many private, that's going to take it at all. A lot of Union Street area, a lot of downtown, any of these, you know, Dean College, if it's a commercial, they have to do it. It came up as an enforcement issue, it came up as this, they took the bylaw off. So now there is no bylaw.
No, what was the reasoning? Because I can look up the minutes and find out, but what was the reasoning that we took it, we didn't, I wasn't on the council at that time.
Well, since I was here, the raw truth was, and I'm not trying to throw bombs at the previous administrator, but his personal feeling was is that the bylaw was not being upheld by enough people, and it was unenforceable because there wasn't enough will to go out and essentially try to enforce it with fines and say to the quilt shop or the pub or whatever, you didn't do your duty, so here's a $100 ticket. And so, and if Jeff were here, he would absolutely verify what I'm saying, which is eventually Jeff got sick and tired of having it on the books, not being enforced, not being done, and he essentially just proposed to take it off the bylaw. Looking back on it, I mean, I think it's something that I think absolutely the council should reconsider. And you know, if it's up to them, I would do it as soon as possible, because I think, as Brutus knows from the numbers, you know, you can save quite a bit, but it also takes the will of everybody and all of us to say, you know what, if you get a $100 ticket and you're at, you know, business X, that's just the way it works. You know, I don't know if how well fines work. You know, that's certainly a public debate, but I think it would help out the DPW quite a bit. In the previous TA's defense too, I don't know if he could have seen the trend coming of where we're at with the difficulty getting contractors either. And so, you know, I want to say it was 3 years ago it was repealed. It was definitely since I've been here, because my personal opinion was, even if it's on the books and it's not enforced, at least it's still on the books. Now, you know, Dean College essentially doesn't have to do it. They still do. Some people still do, and a lot don't. And so it's something that, you know, if the council would give it another crack at it, it could be a great idea. I think it makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. But one thing, if I could, and I'm not sure how far this would go, because we've seen over the years with the downtown partnership being very active, which is a good thing, and we have an active Chamber of Commerce. Mm-hmm. Could they, like, go to the, do they have, I'm not sure what the membership is like, but say, we'll hire somebody to do the sidewalks, and we're just going to build, I don't know if you build the business or the property, or I'm not sure how that works, but have that business group do the hiring, so you make sure it's done, so you don't have one person shoveling and another person not, that they'll shovel or plow or whatever they need to do the sidewalks, and then it's something that's passed on to the business members. Again, I'm not sure how practical that is or not, but.
Well, but I think, Bill, to your point, I think if the council were willing to engage in that debate, you know, my guess would be is that people would pay attention and they would come out and some of these ideas would shake out in a public forum, and help shape a bylaw that maybe businesses downtown feel like are more enforceable, maybe are more fair, and maybe some of these ideas would come out on the table if they could pool together themselves. You know, maybe they can kind of throw an assist into it, so. You know, maybe something to bring up tomorrow night. You know, Councilor Perry, if you wanted to make a mention of it at some point during the meeting.
But just so that you do know that if there's a bylaw, it's going to take first reading and second reading.
Correct.
So it's going to take a little while. But maybe just with it being out in the open that we need the businesses to step in and help us out, it may do something too. So
I will say,
I think it's good.
I will say, and I'm stuck all the time. I got to be the water police, right? You know, the snow police, people pushing snow into the road, the stormwater police, everything comes back because of all these permits and everything else. And someone brought the, I think you said about, do fines work, okay? I gotta tell you, fines, when I go, we give, I never have, but I just don't fine people. It's more of a public education. Right. A lot of people just don't know. You know, the contractor's plowing snow into a street doing a driveway, I stop and tell them, I say, you can't do this. I send a letter to the homeowner. I don't send him a ticket. I say, you can't plow snow in public right away. Never happens again. Very rarely it does. Same with businesses. And what, you know, and I just say, as a business owner, if you said you had to do your thing in front of, I'll say Acapulco, because I know they're moving downtown. But if they didn't shovel in front of them, they look like egg in their eye because everybody else does it around them. Yeah. It's self-policing. It really is. Yeah. But it's public education.
For them too.
Sure.
You know, it's public education for them.
Right.
So most fines, that's the way they work.
to...
And we'll work with the downtown partnership. I think that would be good.
To Council Pelosi's question. I mean, the earliest you could get something back on the books, to her point a minute ago, would be the January 8th meeting of the council, and then they would have to post, and we could get it probably done for the second meeting in January, or worst case, the first meeting in February, which would be February 5th. Mm-hmm. It still would be a great assist.
It would.
And it would be a great public education
point. You know, honestly, it's public education get out there, but what it really affect would be next year.
Right.
Right.
Because
right.
the hard thing would be like, I'll say like you have the Stop and Shop, right there, plaza, they got sidewalks in front of them. They don't really know they have to do that. So, but if they did, their contract, whoever their landscaper is, just pounding the block, and now he knows he has to do the sidewalks up front. Mm-hmm. So they have to change it. And it might be the same for the Wendy's or, you know, whoever it is. But it would take, you know, it would really help next year.
Right.
We're still going to get through this year, but next year would help out. But it would be, the downtown would really get affected. Well.
I think to Bruce's point, next year you could really, you know, to his point, you start off really well at the beginning of the season, but you could still use this year is a great, you know,
Glory.
To Bruce's point, I've been out there with him when he's pulled into driveways to tell people you can't push snow into the road and stuff. You know, it's not like we're going to go out all of a sudden with the ticket book and boom, 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 even in February. So it'd be a good public education piece. And I think given the trouble that we've had with hiring contractors and the few guys that we have, you know, it would really highlight the savings and being able to do other stuff, other places, and do a better job in the parking lots. You know, on the other sidewalks around the school so kids can get to school and all that type of stuff. So if it's something to consider, we can certainly put it on.
And having the council discuss it while the snow's still on the ground, even if the benefit is next year, probably doesn't hurt either.
And I also think it would be beneficial to reiterate the priorities, Brutus. I mean, it makes sense when you say it, right? It's the streets, it's the public buildings,
right.
The schools. Then we get to the sidewalks. Then we get to...
Yeah.
Other public places, just to reiterate it as part of the conversation.
Absolutely.
Yeah, usually I do a snow meeting every year, every other year, and it's, you've heard me, Brett. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's online too, if anybody's listening. My snow presentations are online.
Yeah. Mr. So, Sherlock?
It was a February 2017 meeting of the council that turned over the bylaw.
Of 17.
Wasn't that long ago?
17, wow.
Yeah,
that long ago. I know.
2017.
Did you remember that, or did you look it up?
I'm sorry.
Well, you said three. You said 3 years, and that's pretty close.
That's pretty good. A
couple of months.
Right,
it's 3 years. Yeah. Bravo for you.
I promise to be quiet the rest of the night.
Is there any more discussion on the DPW capital plans, or plowing, or anything else?
Just one more
sure.
point, Mr. Chairman, if I could. So number 14, moving on from the DPW, is the Water and Sewer Enterprise Funds. We've put these on hold. I put the retained earnings, which is similar to free cash in a sense, for each of those funds. And I will say, because it's not really a secret, but the unforeseen circumstances right now that are putting these on pause is essentially the bankruptcy of court case of Dean Foods, and which has an impact on Gorelick. And so that was just filed on November 12th. It's actually filed in bankruptcy because Dean Foods' headquarters is in Texas. And so before we go invest and go spend this money, we need to understand what that case is going to mean for the town of Franklin. It's no secret that Gorelick is a huge portion of our water and sewer budgets. Mm-hmm. They absorb, I believe, 20 to 25%, but 22% of the town's water and sewer. And so, you know, in some ways, this came at a great time because having these reserves is really important to make sure that whatever happens in that bankruptcy case gives us a little bit of space to find out where this is really going in the next several months. On the other hand, it's a bummer because we had some good projects lined up, and Lori's been doing a tremendous job on some capital infrastructure projects. But you know, we're going to wait and see. And as I pointed out in the memo, I just want to make sure that everybody was aware. It's on the record. You know, we're just requesting to hold any expenditures for at least a few more months until we can find see where that court case is going to end up. So.
Just one quick question: how many employees does Gorelick employ in Franklin?
I think they're the third. I want to say the third biggest employer in town.
Why do I want to say 1,600?
Way less than that.
Way less than
There's
that?
Nobody in Franklin that has 1,600.
Yeah, they were the most.
I'm close.
Yeah.
the economic profile.
Oops, Dickie's looking it up.
It was in the economic profile.
It was
500.
I'm getting Dean College confused with Dean Foods. One of them was about 600, one of them about 400. The town of Franklin, EMC, Dean, and Dean Foods were the four of the five largest employers in town. So certainly several hundred jobs. I don't know right off the top of my head, and I have no intelligence yet on really exactly where all that's going. This is just chapter 11. Could be a reorg, could be done soon. We don't know yet. So we're just kind of hanging tight.
So those continuing to be on hold, and the only funds we're voting are the stabilization, OPEB, and the capital plans, and the general government, and the schools, and so forth.
That's exactly correct. Okay. Yep. And obviously, we come back at a later date with any of the remaining funds from the snow and ice removal, usually for roads or some other little piece. You know, once we get to hopefully the spring, hopefully we'll have a better idea what's going on, and we can try to move forward with some of the water and sewer.
Any more questions on capital budget, on the DPW, or comments? The next item is the final recommendations and vote. We have three votes this evening. The first one, and these should be available on the memo someplace, but the first one is 20-01. That's the capital fiscal year 20. That's what we just went over with Brutus, plus the police and fire. The schools, technology, and so forth. And if you'd like, I'll read the motion, then I'll ask for a second, and then we can discuss or vote. I'd like to make a motion that the Finance Committee recommends $1,640,579 be appropriated and transferred from free cash to be expended at the discretion of the town administrator to include any residual funds remaining in line items for the FY 2020 capital improvement plan as outlined in the resolution.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Any discussion on any of the budgets? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
No? Motion passes. The second item, 20-02, the OPEB fund transfer. I make a motion that the Finance Committee recommends that the sum of $348,000 be transferred from free cash to the OPEB trust fund. Do I have a second?
Second.
Any discussion, comments? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, the ayes have it. You have passed Resolution 20-02. And the final item to vote on tonight, 20-03, stabilization accounts transfers. I make a motion that the Finance Committee recommends that $570,000 be transferred from free cash to the stabilization accounts and in the amounts identified in the resolution.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor of 20-03 say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. You've passed all three resolutions. Mr. Helen, the next item is the stormwater presentation.
Great. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. So I'm going to let, I thought it would be advantageous. I wanted to put in everybody's packet. The memo that I sent to the council back in November to kind of bring the issue back up, which has been on the table for well over a decade, of the stormwater related issue. And we included in the packet the presentation that Brutus had given at the council meeting in November. It was a lengthy presentation. It needed to be a lengthy presentation because essentially we're at the point where there's a permit that is put out by the Environmental Protection Agency and that we have to begin to implement. For those of you who've been around for a while, stormwater is probably an issue that needs a little introduction. But in short, the memo hopefully outlines some of the history along with the presentation. This is an issue that has followed the Boston Harbor cleanup, the Lower Charles cleanup, I mean, a whole variety of other environmental protection related stuff over the last 50 years. This is just the latest phase. And essentially what we have to do is our part in Franklin, along with the other communities along the Charles River, to try to do the things we need to do to try to protect the river. You know, I think what is advantageous, I'm going to go through a little bit of the memo, and then I think having a discussion or answering any questions anybody had on stormwater. But really what we're talking about doing here is setting up essentially a utility in the same way that you would have an enterprise fund for water, sewer, and trash, right? So you get your water, sewer, trash bill. The idea here is that you get your water, sewer, trash, stormwater bill. Where we're at with this is at the last council meeting, the council did take two actions on this issue. The first one they did was take the first vote of two votes needed to actually establish the utility in the enterprise fund, like water and sewer. And then the second action they took, so the second vote on that, it was a unanimous vote to set up the utility. And the second vote on that will come in early January after the bylaws published in the newspaper. And the second vote they took, action they took, was to establish an ad hoc subcommittee of the council. The members have not been named yet, but they took the first step to set up an ad hoc study committee to look at one issue, which is the finances related to this, and also to engage and do a little bit more public outreach than what the town has been doing for the last decade. In review, the town has done mailers. Hopefully some of you have seen them maybe over the years. We respect the fact that a lot of people see it and they throw it in the recycling bin. It's not a sexy topic. And as I mentioned at the council meeting, one of the things to do in setting up the utility and the enterprise fund is, at a minimum, even if there's not a fee associated with yet, an actual dollar figure, I think it's one of the most powerful ways to do outreach is to kind of show the ratepayers across the community water, sewer, trash is whatever the fees are, and there's a zero at the end. But what's this stormwater? We may be able to do a mailer in that as well to try to educate people on whatever the decisions are. But, you know, make no mistake, there is a fee associated with this. This is not free. It is a financial commitment that the town will have to do. I will be well retired. He will be well retired before this entire permit. Chrissy may very well be retired before this, you know, all of us might be gone by then. By the time this permit is actually fully completed, it is expected to take 20 plus years, 30 years. It may be in the era of 60 million or so of responsibility in the community. And I think one of the points that hit, and I noticed at the council meeting when I mentioned this, really hit home, it's the same thing we're doing with OPEB. OPEB, when it came out several years ago, the shock value, we have a $100 million liability, what are we gonna do, how are we gonna pay for this, this is atrocious, how could the state do this to us, this is not fair, you know, Big Brother, the EPA, they're telling us, we're a little slice of the Charles River, you see it in Bruce's presentation, most people think of downtown Boston, the Esplanade, but look at what we've done with OPEB, and look at what our bond rating agencies see, look at what our auditors see, they see a steady, slow policy and commitment to financial responsibility to achieve that liability over a very long period of time, decades. And I pitched this basically in saying the same thing to the council was, we can't necessarily think of this issue as another fee, another tax, more money out of our pockets. It is, but we have to think of it a little differently as a liability that is financially gonna be on the town that's never gonna go away. The longer we wait, the more the capital costs come up, and there very well could be, the more we want to delay, there could actually be a financial penalties through the federal government to the town of Franklin. And we don't want to be there for a lot of reasons, because financially we don't want to be there. But also, one of the big reasons is that Franklin is by far known as not a leader, but the leader on this issue around New England. You know, Jeff, Brutus, the DPW, Deacon, all the team and the council. We have over $1 million right now in the operating budget that goes towards stormwater related activities. We actually sued the EPA. The town of Franklin was the lead plaintiff in a lawsuit against the EPA. And while the mediation is not complete, We've been in court with them for several years. And we were chosen by the environmental groups, and we worked with them to be the lead plaintiff because we are the leader on this issue. And so to fall behind at this moment would be really financially not advantageous for the town. But I think even other communities, I won't mention who they are, but they snicker a little bit saying, you guys have been doing this slow but steady over 10 to 12 years, and other communities around here just put in their utility, and they're going, we didn't do anything for decades, and now we're doing a utility, and they kind of almost, snicker a little bit at us, saying they've kind of done a little bit of an end run around the town of Franklin, and we don't want to be in that position because, we have been a leader on this. So, the other way to look at this globally is, we all feel like this is, the big bad federal government telling us what to do. It feels unfair. Why aren't they telling Watertown and Cambridge to do more, which they are, but why doesn't everybody else have to do this, that, and the other thing? And I think one of the ways that we've been trying to think of this is not as an actual penalty, but how do we use this to our advantage and do things in the program that can invest in the town of Franklin, much like our water and sewer enterprise funds. That money doesn't go to Beacon Hill, it doesn't go to the federal government. All those ratepayers pay into the system here. That's your water mains, that's your road work, that's your sidewalks, that's your catch basin cleanings, that's your drainage basins, that's your property that's down the street that could be flooded from that culvert or that drainage basin or whatever. What we're generally proposing here is roughly about a little less than a $2 million budget. And the main chunks of that would go to drainage improvements throughout the community. The big bulk would go to freeing up about $1 million worth of road work. As folks remember last year, at the end, we had to pull out the $650,000 we had in the operating budget to balance the budget for roads in Franklin. Here's an opportunity to do more road work on roughly about $1 million worth of additional road work. And, popular for some, not popular for others, but we included in the budget an element where we would have curbside leaf pickup. And the main driver there was a couple things. One, if people are going to pay another fee, road work's great, but it really only works if it's on my road, right? Or my way to work or something like that. But we've heard a lot of feedback from people through the years that they're jealous of Milford because they have curbside leaf pickup, other communities do. And the number one polluter, maybe not number one, but pretty close, one of the top polluters, and the reason why this whole permit exists is from phosphorus. And phosphorus is from leaves. So everybody's leaves that are decomposing go into the river and create algal blooms throughout the whole river and the wildlife and all the other effects that come from that. So, we understand that this is an issue that is not very sexy. We've had public forums at the town hall many, many times. We've had many flyers go out throughout the community. We've had a website for many, many years with tons of information on it. We respect the fact that people don't have a lot of time. They don't want to necessarily read our MS4 permit stormwater plan, by the way. We didn't give it to you. We didn't print it on copies. It's about 400 and something pages. We didn't think that most people would want to read that. It's online. People can take a look at it, scan through it. But we respect the fact that anytime you're taking money out, proposing to take more money out of the pockets of taxpayers, warrants a little bit extra focus. And we thought with the ad hoc subcommittee of the council, they could do a little bit more public outreach, hold some more forums during the day in the town hall, in the council chambers, put them on camera, and try to engage people a little bit more and get some input on how you would phase in some sort of rate, some sort of fee to be equitable throughout the entire community. There is a credit/abatement system for all intents and purposes. And in Brutus's presentation, if you saw it, Big Y is one of the examples we put in there where most people drive in, they get their groceries in their parking lot. They don't understand that underneath that parking lot, there's a very, there's a pretty sophisticated stormwater maintenance system underneath that parking lot. Big Y, under our proposal, would get a significant credit off their bill because they've already complied with town bylaws and stuff like that. So I've talked a lot. I don't know if you probably want to add in a few things. You know, I just
covered a lot.
I know, but you know, it's a dense topic. It's not the first time you guys are going to hear of it, but we thought certainly because we've been going to the council and having these discussions in public the last couple months, while we were here doing DPW related things, we'd at least give you guys an FYI, allow there to be a discussion, and if you guys have any questions, you know, we can certainly answer what folks may have.
I want you to be very confident because Brutus, he'll go to other towns, and in fact, you were just at the Mass Municipal Association?
Yes.
Yeah, speaking on this. So he's well versed in this, and I feel that he's looking out for our back. So we're very, very happy.
A lot of us would agree with that. Yeah. I have a few questions if I could ask. They're more technical, I guess. Yeah. I noticed, like, reading, plowing through all this data and stuff, I got to the MS4 and figured out what that was. And then you're talking about the billing units, and you use GIS to establish how many there are, essentially things that are going to have for the runoff, right? Driveways, sidewalks, and so forth. How often would that be updated? Because people add, they might add to patios, shorten a driveway, lengthen a driveway, add a parking lot, a business or something, so.
It is a good question. And typically that's done every 3 years.
Okay.
The nice thing about the technology that we have now, I can tell you, like, since I started doing this, looking at pervious area, it's just so much better, you know, and it doesn't take that long. Before, it used to be very expensive. The first time we did the flyover and did all the boundaries, I mean, it was hundreds of thousands of dollars. You can have this stuff done for $20,000 and redo the whole thing. So it's, yeah, you should, it's kind of like the tax rate.
Like an assessment.
Correct. Yeah, we could do it 5 years, we could do it whenever, but usually about 3 years is pretty low, right?
Okay. Three
most, yeah, most it's communities yeah. do.
We're switching to a 5, but, you know, I think as this floats in, you know, this is right, you do it around the normal appraiser schedule.
That would make sense. And one other quick question, I noticed on the cost, and I know it's like 1.1 and change now, and then it's estimated to be like one, you took up like a 4-year average of 1.9 or 2 million. All those costs, the capital projects, the engineering, is that strictly within DPW? Is that spread across other town agencies that, you know, you sort of all have a piece of it, it's strictly DPW?
So right now, as things are going, all the taskings associated with stormwater, which have gone up significantly just to this permit, is still under the DPW general fund.
Okay.
So if this utility was created, a lot of those taskings, like the easy ones to pay, like catch basin cleaning, our maintenance of ponds, things, street sweeping, those taskings would be transferred out of the general fund and attached to the utility.
Which, of course, is exempt from 2.5. Utility,
yes.
The rate, okay.
The one thing that I find very important that Jamie didn't touch on, when you set this utility, it's basically the rate payer. You know, it's like if you're on the water system right now, you could raise the water 10%, but if you have a well, it doesn't really affect you. Mm-hmm. But pretty much everybody in town will be part of the rate system. There are ways to opt out, I don't get into that. But the big thing is we're going to pick up a lot of folks that aren't paying right now, okay? Nonprofits. Dean College has to pay.
Right, correct.
Mass DOT pays. They got their facility open grocery. They don't pay for $4.95, but they pay. Anybody can think of that's exempt now for paying taxes would have to pay into this. So we're gonna pick up additional funds. The only other thing I'd say it's interesting about this is if you think about all the impervious area, about 62% of the impervious area is on commercial retail property, but yet the tax base in town, the residential pays 60%, so it inverses. So actually the people that have more impervious area, they're gonna pay more.
Right.
You follow me, instead of being a broad thing. It's a metered system, it's just like your water. You use more water, like Gorelick, we're saying, they use more water, they pay more than you. But the tax base, it's, you know, based on valuation, but not actually the service that you're being provided. So it's important that folks know that at home.
Okay, that's great. Any other questions or comments on the stormwater? Anything else to add? I guess we're done with the stormwater presentation.
The only thing I'd add is that, really quickly, is that the council will be considering the utility at the first meeting in January. The chair will announce at some point who's gonna be on the ad hoc. And then I would anticipate through the winter This guy isn't busy enough. You know, we'll be hopefully having some forums at night. We'll probably do some on the weekends, do some during the day, just to cover the bases, give everybody a fair shot to come on out. We're gonna try to tape them as best we can, and you know, hopefully the folks listening to Steve's you know, microphone right now will tune out, tune in. Yeah. give them a rib in the back. You know, but tune in and actually come to these forums. You know, I know it's time is a precious resource these days, but this is a big deal, and I hope that people really pay attention to this issue. And the other thing I would add in there, we didn't even touch on, I'm surprised you didn't, was groundwater protection. Yeah. You know, Brutus frequently in his presentation talks about the triadic approach, and you know, we're a groundwater community. We get all our drinking water from groundwater, and this is a huge ability for us to really protect those resources and keep that water in Franklin. So, you know, hopefully people will participate and come out and yell and scream, give us good feedback, anything you want. So.
Okay. Thank you very much. Yep. And nothing else is on the agenda, so can I have somebody make a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second motion has been made and seconded to adjourn. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you, everyone, and see you next time.
Thank you.
This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but I can't do it alone. I can always use your help. How can you help? Overall, if you can use the information you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. And if you don't like something, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tintype Tunes in 2008. And used with their permission. I hope you enjoy.